Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Cosmopolitans All The Way With. I'm Paisley Gilmore.
And I'm Laura Capon. And this week we'll be joined by Vivian, who is in a female-led BDSM relationship. And I've already had to clarify with Paisley what that stands for.
I love how you almost like wrapped it and you went BDSM.
Because I don't want to get it wrong.
You got it right. It's like how sometimes you can't say LGBTQ.
All right.
Actually, I'm just being really nasty now. Sorry, mate. You did really well.
I went to speech therapy when I was younger, okay?
Oh, okay. Well, time for a revisit. Get your money back, hun. Sorry, that was really rude.
I enjoyed it.
You know how it's getting a bit colder, Elsie?
Oh, yeah.
The nights are drawing in.
The leaves are changing colour.
They're crisping.
I want to pick my pumpkin picking day.
Oh, do you? Okay, so you're thinking about, you know, have you got autumnal vibes in your heart?
Me and my friends call this time of year spooky binging season.
Okay, because?
Because you just want to watch horror films and eat, like, chocolate.
Yeah, I feel it. And I just want to wear, like, head-to-toe woolen items.
Oh, I'm not itchy wool.
No, obviously not real wool. I'm not made of money. faux wool. But with that comes a very interesting kind of dating relationship phenomenon. Ooh. Get me to speech classes. which I'm sure you've heard of, but I want to check because I've mentioned it to a few people this week and they were like, I've never heard of this. And it is cuffing season.
Of course I've heard of it.
You know it. Okay. Yeah. And you know what it is.
Yeah, but I think if some people don't, I feel I would like to hear your explanation.
Okay. So cuffing season is when loads of people start getting into relationships in like the autumn, winter months, and they kind of hunker down together over the colder half of the year. And then they break up again just in time for summer to go out and shag their little hearts away.
I thought you were going to say something else then.
Okay, little... so
it's basic. Is it just because it's cold that we want to do it?
Well, so I don't know. Well, I don't know why I always want to do it. I want to ask you if you want to do it, but we'll come to that, I guess. I spoke to a psychologist called Lucy Beresford, and she said, when the grotty weather forces you indoors, it's nice to know you have a reliable partner with whom you can like stay indoors and cook dinners and snuggle on the sofa. And that's why she thinks this happens. But then I spoke to another psychologist, Dr. Laurie Brotto, and she said she thinks there's an evolutionary reason, because in the winter months, back in the day when we were like, you know, not wearing shoes and stuff, and foraging. I didn't do history for GCSE, as you can tell. Food was scarce and people had to work together to survive. And she said, and we also know that mood and depression kind of goes in seasons. It's like cyclical. So it could be that higher rates of depression and people feeling lonely in the winter months triggers a longing for being in a relationship.
Oh, this is a lot. This is a lot.
How do you feel the yearning?
I mean, to be fair, I feel the yearning from January to December, baby.
lonely season, 24/7.
Oh, the laughter turns to tears.
It does.
I do. I feel like I don't know if I will feel about it this year as much because I feel like everyone is lonely. And in some ways, I'm not saying that you all being lonely makes me happy, but Maybe it sort of does because I feel less alone because I know everyone is lonely.
So you're not seeing...
Am I a terrible person?
No, I think that makes sense. I mean, obviously, it's a very toxic thing to say that if your friends are unhappy, that makes you happy, but fine.
So I am a terrible person, yes.
Yes, you're an asshole. No, I think that's really normal. It's like comforting to know that people are going through the same emotional
I guess what I mean, to make myself sound better, is that I feel like there's going to be a bit less of that, like, FOMO.
Yeah.
This year. But still, I guess then everyone is going to be, like, inside playing Monopoly together, you know? And you can't, that's not a game you can play by yourself.
It's, no, you need at least, what, 4 players, isn't it?
Can you, I think you could do it with 2, but it would be incredibly long.
How boring, yeah. Okay, so you're not feeling, that's interesting. I thought you were going to say you were feeling it more than usual, but I get your...
No, I think for me, it kind of reversed this year. Normally I am, cuffing season, yeah, fully feeling it. But I think I actually had an earlier cuffing season. I feel at the beginning of lockdown... I moved my cuffing season.
Yeah, you brought it forward. Do you know what? Yeah, lockdown probably has screwed up some people's cuffing seasons.
Yeah. What about you?
Well, I thought, no, I never want to be in a relationship. I don't know what this phenomenon really is. People are idiots for believing this. And then I realised, I went back and I realised I get with all my partners in October and I always break up in March, which are the exact dates for cuffing season.
Oh my God. Also, you always say you want to be alone, but then I feel like you're always in a relationship.
I know, mate. I don't want to talk about this now.
Okay.
Because you're right and it makes me feel shit about myself.
But is there anything... But it's going to be harder this year because also I look at everyone and it just feels like, oh, germy, you know?
Oh, yeah, people will have a lot of anxiety around actually touching other humans. I guess ideally you would have met someone when we had a little bit of restriction lifting of lockdown. You kind of had to meet them in the past, like, you know, month or so.
I'd quite like just a pen pal this winter. A
Why
bit like
you,
like railway children. Railway? Railway children. Why can't I say railway? Railway children-esque. And we just, you know, I just use a fountain pen and...
Yeah. Okay, Elsie, that sounds nice.
Yeah?
That'd be your cuffing season.
And what are you going to do? Or do you not want to talk about it?
I don't want to talk about it.
Okay. I'll talk to Vivian then.
Okay.
Great.
Let's meet Vivian. Bye.
We're joined today by Vivian Silver, who is in a female-led relationship. This means she holds all the power in her relationship, from sex to the finances. Her boyfriend is in complete submission to her. Welcome, Vivian.
Hi, thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us.
We're very excited to ask you everything.
I'm very excited to share.
Can we just start with, I had to check this. What does BDSM stand for? Not that I don't trust you, Paisley, but just want to double check.
It stands for bondage, domination, sadism, and masochism. So all of those together are kind of just linked as a group of certain kinks and fetishes that people enjoy participating in, whether it be with a dominant hand or a submissive mindset.
Got you.
Now, is that not exactly what I said, Laura, in those exact words?
Yeah, you didn't say it straight away, though, did you?
No, I had to Google it, even though it's my job.
So, Vivian, how long have you been with your boyfriend?
We're going on 2 years. The relationship didn't start as a kink-based one. It was originally just a vanilla relationship. And then one day I caught him watching femdom porn in the shower.
Would you just explain what femdom means for our listeners who might not know?
Female domination. Okay. So a lot of the times when we're talking about domination, it can be a very male-centered practice. You know, when people think BDSM, it first comes to mind with like 50 Shades of Grey. And that's not representative of a lot of what BDSM is. With female domination, it's where women hold the power. Women are the doms.
Okay. So how long had you been together when you found him watching this porn?
About a year.
Okay.
And had you been, would I use the term dominatrix? Had you been a dominatrix before?
I had experimented with BDSM from a dominant angle before, but I wouldn't have called myself a dominatrix. That had definitely come after I found him watching porn and, you know, immersed myself in the culture. Eventually, it became what I do for work.
So how did you feel when you first walked in and saw what he was watching?
I was excited by it. You know, I saw an opportunity that I could take to mold the relationship into what I wanted it to be.
So how did you actually go from that to being like, oh, this is the kind of relationship we're going to have?
I asked him what excited him about it, and he said the power dynamic. And slowly but surely, I started making more decisions. I started saying like, oh, no, you can't do that. Here's how this is going to go. And, you know, day by day, I just kept taking more and more power until eventually one day I put his cock in a chastity. Can I say that? I'm sorry.
Yeah, of course you can.
I put his cock in a chastity cage and started wearing the keys around my neck. And I said, if you ever want them back, you're going to do what I say.
And he was like, willingly, yes.
Yeah, 100%.
Wow.
Wow. What is, can you just describe a chastity cage? I've never come across one, funnily enough.
So there's like a ring. It can be vinyl or plastic or metal. And it kind of like fits snugly around your penis and balls. And then there's like two prongs. And then there's a little cage attachment that goes on your penis, quite literally like locking your penis in a cage so it can't get hard.
So could he have a wee?
Yeah.
Okay, so you can wee.
There's a little hole.
And so you own the key and then only you can take it off. Ah, how long would one typically wear one of these for before it being removed?
Well, we take it off twice a week for him to shower, but I supervise it.
Oh my God.
Before the pandemic and lockdown, he would kind of wear it out and about to work.
Oh,
to
of
the
course.
Shops.
Yeah.
Oh.
Chastity is a lifestyle for him. It's not just, you know, something he does for fun sexually.
Oh, okay. And it can be hidden under the trousers.
Mm-hmm.
Ah.
I think in my head, because I'm thinking like a cage and like this big square box, you can tell that I'm just so vanilla. What were those like small acts of power that you said, Vivian, before you got to that point?
I stopped washing dishes. I stopped giving head.
That.
I refused to do any cleaning. I refuse to even, like, if I want water and I'm in bed, I'll make him get up and do it. Any little inconvenience in my life, he's expected to take care of.
Kind of into it.
So, and in turn, my friends get to use him. I have a couple other dominatrix friends, Valentina Fox, Miss Nova, Empress Rosalia, and the four of us, we recently all, like, moved into new apartments, and he did all of the moving. He set up the furniture. He re-turfed their backyard.
Oh, wow. He's a busy boy.
Yes. Yeah, he's got a lot to do. Would you ever have, like, say if he ever was actually genuinely annoyed that you hadn't done, like, the dishes, can he ever just be annoyed with you and you can have a kind of argument without it being, can you kind of break, I don't know how you'd call it, sorry, can you break the dominant relationship then?
No.
Okay.
He can be annoyed all he wants, but he's still expected to fulfill his responsibilities.
I feel like you've said that before. I feel like him then.
He's tried. I mean, he's definitely tried to show me resistance, but one time I flushed one of his keys. So that took him down from having three keys that could open his cage to only having two. So he hasn't really acted up since then.
I see. So obviously, it was a gradual progression from like what you called in air quotes a vanilla relationship to this. Did you like kind of draw up some kind of contract or sit and have a chat about it, about what your boundaries would be? Or like, is it something you've just figured out as you've gone along?
We've continually checked in and like we have these conversations routinely, but I try new things and, you know, he's welcome to say for it if he needs, especially in like a session. If we're doing designated kink activities and something makes him, you know, a little uncomfortable and he needs to slow down, he says yellow. If he needs the scene to stop, he says red. But the fundamentals of the relationship are rooted in like the concept of female superiority and that I have, you know, a better head on my shoulders than he does. So we never really leave the dynamic of him looking to me to lead the relationship. We do at times stop dominatrix and submissive play. to discuss it as person to person, but the relationship is always going to be 70% his effort, 30% mine.
Okay.
And is there anything he is allowed to do on his own?
I actually have to think about that. Not really. He doesn't make very many decisions for himself.
So even like down to what he'd eat, like if he...
Yeah, really, I buy the groceries or I tell him what to buy. He, like, all the decisions are really off of him. Like, he can choose if he wants, like, pepperoni on his pizza or cheese, but I'm choosing if we're having pizza or not.
Does he have a job?
Right now, at the moment, he doesn't, but he has in the past. He lost it due to the pandemic.
Oh, okay. How did it work when he was kind of going off to work then? Was it, like, out of sight?
He would give me his paycheck.
Luxury.
It was wonderful. Just straight into my account. And when he gets a new job, I don't actually think he's going to set up his direct deposit to his bank account. He's setting it up to mine.
Okay, cool. So you kind of have control of your finances and spend both of your paychecks as you wish. Okay.
Can I ask, because I obviously totally get that it was his idea and it's his, he wants to do this. But I'm just thinking, as someone that has no experience of this, if it was the other way around and he was taking that control from you, I would feel like that was a bit abusive. Is that something that you kind of a lot of people have that opinion? Is if someone said that, what's your response?
Well, it's completely consensual. If someone finds themselves fulfilled in complete submission and doesn't really seek things outside of their like kink-based relationship, that's up to them. I'm not in the business of policing women, especially if they find that that works for them. It's really interesting because people will say that FinDom and FemDom are abuse, but then turn around and say that 50 Shades of Grey was a great book.
What? Sorry, I think surely we've all admitted that that was useless.
I still see it online. It's really crazy, the discourse surrounding it.
Wow.
No, don't worry. If you think about it historically, women weren't allowed to have their own bank account until 1974. So what's so wrong with it, like doing that to a man? Like in the US, I'm sorry.
No, I do totally see it in that way. I'm just saying if I was, and I guess it's like I need to think of it from like the perspective of it's not a relationship I know about in that way, but just if you were my friend and you said, oh, like my boyfriend doesn't let me spend my money, doesn't let me shower, I would be worried. But I guess it's remembering that that is what that person wants.
Yes. It's big on consent. If consent isn't there, it's 100% an abusive relationship. But you know, I continually check in with my partner and make sure this is what he wants. And he does seek out a total power exchange. It's kind of like, in a sense, almost like a return to childhood. There's someone there that's going to take care of you, that assures all your needs are met, and thus you do not have to worry about it. You don't have to stress about it. You just have to do what they say.
So do you think, like, ultimately he has the power? Because he's,
oh, of course, like, he can say no at any point.
Yeah, because it's not as simple as you have the power because you're making the decisions. It's like he's letting you make the decisions. So it's like layers of power,
BDSM,
right?
BDSM is a lot of give and take, especially in like a female-led relationship, in femdom at all. Submission is a gift, and it's a gift that can be revoked at any point. A good dom knows how to keep that submission by having her submissives feel safe, cared for, and it's hard to balance like the needs of like humiliation and degradation and in turn affection. But you know, you have to work all of those things together.
Is it ever hard like for you in terms of having all these decisions? Do you ever feel a bit like drained of having to, I mean, have sometimes you just wish that he could make the decision for once?
Not really. I like being in control. I like having things done the way I want them. So I find that this actually takes a lot of stress off me.
Yeah, and I guess you get used to that as well.
Yes. And it's nice. It leads to a very satisfying relationship for the two of us.
Yeah, so what's the thing that you like most that you get out of it?
I would say I have a lot of time to relax because of it. I constantly have a clean home. I don't have to worry about like my laundry not being done. Everything is taken care of because he seeks to please me.
So you just get to chill.
Yeah. And then I'm a financial dominatrix for my career. So men pay me to exist. So my entire day is just kind of like sitting on my couch, watching a movie, making like $500 to $600.
Ooh, can you tell us about that? Because I want to know.
Yeah, ask any questions.
So what is financial domination in that sense?
So it's a form of BDSM power play where it's primarily women, but of course there is like gay financial domination. There are straight cash masters, but primarily women are paid to talk to, manage finances, and take from men. The fetish is like, it's okay. So I guess the best way to explain it is there's no more tangible form of power than money. And if you want to give your power to someone, truly, the effort and hours that you worked, if you want to submit fully, I think that there needs to be a financial element. Because how are you going to benefit my life without paying me?
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
So in financial domination, it's kind of like the ultimate sign of respect, the ultimate sign of submission to send money, usually in large sums or whatever affordable to this like submissive.
So is this something that your kind of friends and family all know about? They know that this is how your relationship works?
So they didn't in the beginning, and I actually was the subject of a doxing several times someone repeatedly leaked my name and what I had done for work in the past. And around like the fifth or sixth time I got doxed, I just called my mom and told her. Yeah. And she didn't really understand it at first. And then I went home to visit her and we went out to lunch and I asked if she wanted me to pay. And she goes, "Oh no." And I said, "Are you sure?" Because I had it covered four times while we were eating. And she was like, "What?" And after that, like, I've kind of explained it to my family more so. My friends are mainly also dominatrixes, but my vanilla friends also know, and they like to boss him around as well.
So you said they will, he will do things for them too.
Mm-hmm. That's if I tell him to, he'll do whatever I want.
Okay. So what kinds of things has he been doing for your pals?
So my, like I mentioned before, I'm friends with Valentina Fox and Empress Rosalia, and they recently moved into this beautiful house nearby, and he went and completely like pulled up all the weeds in their backyard, re-turfed it, built them like cornhole boards, set up like all of their move-in stuff, hung shelves, put up mirrors, paints. He'll do anything. he's good with his hands. You know, he's, you know, a man that grew up definitely like socialized to be very masculine. And now I use it in a way kind of like to humiliate him, making him wear like a bikini top and paint in the backyard.
Okay. And because I think a lot of people assume BDSM is very kind of and like sex focused, but it's not just about sex. Obviously, it's how you govern your relationship too. So what is that all contributing to kind of a sexual thrill, or what is...
I mean, I would say that BDSM is, yes, like definitely rooted in sex, but it's more of power play. Like, he and I don't really have sex anymore at this point. I don't seek to gratify him in that way. I have other partners for that. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think that in the beginning, a lot of the time, BDSM can be sex focused, but femdom is more power focused. It's more worship focused. I don't find myself concerned with men's orgasms. In fact, if they would like to have one, I make them pay a lot of money for it.
Okay.
Does he find that hard? Because I'm guessing he wants to have sex with you.
In the beginning, yeah. It was definitely a struggle. But the longer he's been chaste, he finds that not having orgasms keeps him in a better headspace. It keeps him more motivated. He has more energy.
Man, maybe we should all get a chastity cage.
I'm too horny. I couldn't.
I see, my philosophy is that women should have more orgasms and men should have less.
Well, the orgasm gap exists. We guess we need to make up for that somehow, right?
Chastity cages for everyone.
Yes, for all the men.
And obviously, I don't want you to like, identify your clients, but what kind of people pay for like your services? Is it like all varied backgrounds?
Right now, actually, primarily my clients are women.
Okay.
I financially dominate a lot of women, a lot of fellow doms, which I think is really interesting.
That is really interesting.
So there's a lot of different people, but I find that I attract more intellectual subs. A lot of other doms will attract subs that like to consume clips, that like to do sessions, but I attract those who like to talk, who like to take tasks, and who seek to improve my life through cash.
Could you talk about like how much you earn, or is that something you want to keep?
I average around $10,000 a month. And I started last October.
Ah, so what were you doing before?
I was a journalist.
Oh yeah. Of course. That's quite a different pay grade.
Yes. I was making, because I was freelancing, I was still in college, around $200 for my day rate. And $200 now is like a miserably slow day for me.
Yeah.
And what did you like write about as a journalist?
Politics. I talked about American politics primarily. I still do some like opinion writing on politics, but I no longer have to write to live.
Do you imagine that you would ever kind of revert your relationship with him back to a vanilla relationship? Or is this kind of a long-term thing?
This is going to be a long-term thing. Personally, yeah. I can't imagine ever being in a vanilla relationship again. I don't think it would be conducive to what I want in life.
Yeah. Do you ever just like go out for dinner or snuggle on the sofa and watch telly? Or is it always?
Okay. We cuddle every night. We watched Labyrinth together this morning with David Bowie.
Very sexy film.
It's just, there's still like a fundamental power imbalance, but that doesn't mean that there's not love there. I do love him very much, but you know, I don't love him so much that I won't wake him up at 5 a.m. to be like, go get me a glass of water. It's like having a boyfriend and a butler all in one.
Just, did you meet someone when you were doing journalism? Like, how did you go from that? I just want to know how you went from that to dominating.
So I had read an article about like financial domination not too long ago. And well, not too long before I had started. And I actually, when I was around 18, someone approached me on Tinder for it, and they would send me money so I could order Chinese food to ignore them. And I thought that was really cool, right? It's great. And I got back into it when I was around 21. I started, well, I'm for a little context, I'm a type 1 diabetic, and insulin is really expensive in America. So I needed a supplemental source of income because I was paying rent. I was in college and I was like, you know, working as often as I could, but I could only get so many days because I was spending 5 days in school. So I got into FinDom just to make some extra cash. And I found that I was really, really good at it. I made $300 my first day.
What do you think makes you like really good at it? Like I feel like if I went into it, what makes a good dom and a bad dom?
Well, I think that my emotional intelligence helps me a lot. I think that being able to read people and understand what people want is a really good skill for a financial dominatrix to have. You have to be patient. You have to be able to see through the bullshit because there's a lot of people that want to waste your time. There's a lot of people who will never send, and there's a lot to learn. There's decorum that you have to learn in the industry, and a lot of people like to gatekeep that knowledge because, you know, they don't want to give up their clients.
Mm.
So as you, like, I made a lot of mistakes my first month. I would message subs first and be like, your wallet is mine, pay piggy. And that's just not how financial domination works, despite, you know, these TikTok videos and like 60-second documentaries that seem to indicate otherwise. For me, I do occasionally have people approach and just want to send a 500 in one go. But a lot of the time, the people that seek me out want to establish a long-term relationship where they're sending several hundred a week, like buying my groceries, paying my rent, taking care of luxuries and regular expenses.
So has like, this is probably really the most boring question anyone's ever going to ask you, but has the pandemic like affected how much people spend on that? Because I guess people are like...
cutting back.
Sorry, but surely that's the first thing that goes when you can't afford... because people are losing jobs and like...
You would actually be surprised. Yeah. I saw my income jump when we went into their lockdown.
Oh, why do you think?
Because more people are at home. More people have time away from their family to go hide in the bathroom and send money.
Yeah.
And do you ever have to do anything for the money?
You know, occasionally I'll Skype with someone for 10 minutes, but we'll just talk and then I make $200 from that.
And what do you think the people that just like, say, pay you for your Chinese, what do you think they get from it? Like if they're not meeting you or seeing you or getting like a pic, like, I don't know, I'm just trying to get into that mindset. What are they getting out of it?
Men have been socialized to be providers. They see a beautiful woman and, you know, if they, like a lot of the time the men that come up to me aren't always fin subs, like, or financial submissives. And they're like, wow, you're so beautiful. And I say it in cash. And they make a choice there of either they want to talk to me, they want to be in my presence, and they're going to do what I say to do so, or they say, fuck you, bitch, I'm not giving you any money, and go away.
Do you ever feel, and I'm not saying you should, by the way, do you ever feel like guilty if it's someone that is maybe more, I guess I'd maybe use the word like vulnerable in terms of like, they genuinely think that like by doing these things, they could get in a relationship with you?
I'm very upfront that I'm not seeking a relationship, that I'm already in one. But at the end of the day, these are consenting adults. You know, if I'm not taking it, another financial dominatrix is going to. So long as it's safe, sane, and consensual, I see no problem with it. If someone is like on meth and they're like, let me save, like send you my savings account, I would obviously refuse. But you know, when someone is sober or has had a few drinks and is like, I'd like to send you this amount of money, and I know that they have the income for it, I don't really see it as a problem.
It was so interesting you mentioned the TikTok thing, because I keep seeing that, I guess you'd call it femdom videos on TikTok. TikTok?
How old are you?
Hi, I'm the down with the kids.
The TikToks.
On TikTok, and there's this one woman, and she always, basically anything she uses, she like posts off and men buy it off her. So like if she used like a foot mask, someone will buy that foot mask, that used foot mask. It's fascinating.
Oh yeah. I mean, stuff like that happens all the time. It's a fetish free market. I've sold sweaty socks. I once made $400 for farting on a piece of pizza.
Oh.
Wait, farting on a piece of pizza?
Yes.
And then where did you sell it?
It was actually, he met me in the park. He handed me $400. I sat on his pizza. I farted on it. He ate it and he walked away.
Oh, that must have been the best, easiest money.
Oh, it was wonderful. I had a coffee on the way over and I was like, okay, I'm set to fart on your pizza.
I'm ready to go.
What was the, do you remember what flavor the pizza was?
It was pepperoni.
No, spicy.
Pepperoni and farts. Actually. I just wanted to go back and, because obviously you mentioned you have some clients of yours that are dominatrixes themselves. Mm-hmm. What's that about? Is that, because my first assumption would be like, oh, you spend all your working life making decisions and dominating other people. It must be a really nice relief to kind of switch roles sometimes. Mm-hmm. Is that what it's about? Or
exactly. I find that like my demeanor is very mothering. It's very comforting. It encourages praise. A lot of my submissives never get reprimanded because they know that good behavior is rewarded and bad behavior is not. I'm not going to do something they enjoy because they misbehave. So with that reputation, eventually one dom came to me and she switched. And she was like, I would like to send you some money. And I posted about it. And then more and more kept approaching. And I've created this whole community of 13 doms that send me money. And some of them have sent me well over $1,000.
Oh, wow.
That is so interesting, the switch.
Yeah. And it's interesting to see them financially switch. Because for me, I couldn't imagine like doing that to anyone else. But a lot of the time these women seek me out and they say the same thing to me. They say they couldn't imagine switching for another dom, but I foster a feeling of safety and community. And that, you know, like I said earlier, it's a return to childhood of saying like, this is someone I admire. This is someone I love. And I want to give everything to them.
You're clearly like such a strong woman.
Thank you.
Do you ever have those kind of moments where you just feel emotional, you feel a bit vulnerable? And in that case, who would you turn to?
I have a wonderful community of strong dominatrix friends. Actually, the boyfriend and I were having some problems the other day that we thought was going to lead to a breakup. And they picked me up and made me an Irish coffee and sat me down and were like, you are a bad bitch, Vivian. Don't let anyone tell you differently. And without them, I think that this would be a lot more lonely and a lot more taxing. But because I have a community of close, like-minded women, it's really easy to, when I'm feeling low, when I'm not feeling like a dom, to see them and feel more like myself. Beyond that, you know, my submissives are wonderfully accepting. On the day of the Breonna Taylor indictment, I was like, because I'm a Black woman, I was like, I do not want to dom. I do not want to put an effort. You're welcome just to send, but I don't want to do anything today. I'm not going to be online. And all of them, you know, prioritize me over their own pleasure. So no one sought to complain about it.
Yeah. And I guess that shows also that it is, like you were saying all along, like it is consensual and like it is like a mutual respect for one another. Mm-hmm.
I was going to say, I just can't imagine, like, it must be so good to have that community, because trying to talk about those kinds of things with, like, vanilla friends must be like, well, they can never understand, like.
Oh, no, 100%. I had friends over for Rosh Hashanah, and half of them were dominatrixes and half of them weren't. And the ones who weren't were like, but how do you do that? How do you not feel guilty? Like, I feel bad when someone pays for my dinner. And I'm like, well, why do you feel bad? Are you, like, there's, like I said, an orgasm gap, a pay gap, and women are continually marginalized. So why not use this, like, platform, social media, which was designed to give men more access to women? And why not monetize it? If men are willing to pay for it, why not make them?
It's kind of, yeah, it's kind of like, I was going to say fuck the system, but I felt about 15 years old then. But you are. You're using a system created by men to kind of use it to your advantage.
Yeah. And I mean, it's a very lucrative industry. It's funny because, you know, like I said, my boyfriend's in chastity. So I seek out other sexual partners. And I'm very clear about the fact that I'm a dominatrix in my dating app bios. And like men that you would never imagine, like these Wall Street types, like Goldman Sachs VPs are like, can I clean your apartment this weekend? Like you would be surprised at who is interested in this.
Yeah.
Little high profile people. Mm-hmm. I'm so sorry for in this instance being your vanilla friend. But thank you so much for being so honest with us, Vivian. It's been eye-opening.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. If people want to find you or pay you, where would they, how would they do that?
You can find me on Twitter. My @ is QueenVIXOXO. So QueenVIXOXO.
Okay, cool. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Wow. I know why you're laughing. I know what you're thinking about.
Pepperoni pizza. I feel so immature.
The hard-hitting journalism of Laura Capon.
Because Vivian was so articulate and mature, and I'm just lolling about her farting on a pizza.
I'm obsessed with it.
Yeah, there's elements of it that I won't lie do worry me. I don't know, like, in terms of them having no... I guess I just have to keep reminding myself that that's what they want. I guess in my head it's so... weird, why would you want to have no power? But yeah, definitely, because I see it more on social media now. Like when we had Chloe, sugar baby Chloe, and like she was selling her feet pictures, and I don't know, something about it always creeps me out. But the more like how Vivian worded it, you know, how she said, well, like, why not? I don't know, maybe I am gonna go fart on a pizza. I'm not.
I'm too greedy. I just want to eat the pizza and be like, no, I can't. Yeah, I'm not interested personally in the relationship aspect of it because I really like mutual giving and taking.
Yeah, I think the relationship, I couldn't do it. Like, I also just wouldn't want to help them shout, like, unlock their penis for a shower. I just don't want to do that.
Unlock your own penis, babe. I'm farting on a pizza.
I think I just need to finish.
Yeah, okay. Should we? Okay. This this brings us to the end of this episode of Cosmopolitan's All The Way With. Thanks to Vivian for joining us and to you for listening. And if you have any sex questions or dating dilemmas, please message us on Twitter or Instagram at Cosmopolitan UK.
I just thought, do you reckon we'll get a Domino's sponsorship? Cosmopolitan's All The Way With was recorded remotely by Number 8 Studios and is available to download on Acast, iTunes and all the usual podcast apps. See you next time.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.